that's very critical.
Now, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to World Have Your Say on the BBC World Service. We are talking about Egypt and in particular President Mohamed Morsi, who gave himself sweeping powers across the country. He says it's needed, the authority, to move Egypt forward, but there has been many protests taking part all across the country and particularly at the president's party offices, which is the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, a couple of your comments that are coming in. Tony in Kenya posted on our Facebook page, what Morsi has done is to divide the country instead of uniting it. And instead, Lab Kelda in Somalia says, Morsi has a charismatic leadership and talents. May Allah give us a leader like Morsi. So that's just some of your comments that are coming in right now. Let's meet somebody who tweeted us a little bit earlier, and that's Ahmed, and he's Egyptian-American. He joins us today from New York. Ahmed, you're very welcome to the programme. You may have heard a little of Shaima Helmi, Shaima Khalil. We also have Abdul Rahman Ibrahim and Marwa Farid joining us. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I think, you know, all points taken aside, I think we haven't seen the judiciary branch really be effective in 2+ years. So I think, you know, maybe there is declaration six what people are focusing on, but you know, we've got to look at both the positives and the negatives. And you know, I don't see people going out there united, against the, what's going on. I think there's positives and negatives. That's one point. I think the second point is, you know, the Constitution is important. I would have loved people to go out and be pro-Constitution, pro-changes versus just be, you know, against Morsi himself.
Well, so some positives. I mean, can you take any positives from what has happened over the past day, Marwa?
Well, as the caller just said, the union of all of the opposition, and at least now they agree on one demand or a number of demands, including the constitution. But I hope that they would actually come up with an alternative, not just protesting today.
I think I need to say something about this whole opposition coalition that's forming. How do like people who consider themselves to be revolutionary feel about being hand-in-hand or working with figures of the old regime? Pro-Shafiq people and pro-Amr Musa and anti-revolution people are also all anti-Morsi and against Morsi. Do we need to be happy about having like a unified opposition that is opposing just for the sake of opposing, than having a clear idea of what are we actually opposing or what's right and what's wrong in what this guy's trying to do?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, how people just want to oppose him for the sake of opposition. They don't really think about what he's doing.
But isn't this politics, Abdurrahman and Shaima? I mean, the politics is that sometimes you make alliances with people you don't necessarily agree with for another cause. And I don't, when you say opposing for the sake of opposing, I think they were very, very clear is that they did not oppose the decisions to sack the prosecutor general. They did not oppose the decision to protect the revolution. What they were opposing was the complete and absolute control of the president. And just on that note, I want to put a question to all of you. How worried are you? And this, again, was reflected in the media, in the Arab media, and in social media, and you probably have seen it, that the real fear here is not only of the absolute power of Mohamed Morsi, the real fear here is the absolute power of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I know that you've heard the chants, Yaskut, Yaskut, Hukm al-Murshid, or down, down with the rule of the supreme leader of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Look, if you want to look at it practically, we want reforms. We want change in the country. If you want to look at it practically, then yes, Morsi did the right thing. But if you want to look at it like at a higher level, if we're in a utopia, then yes, what he did was wrong. He's supposed to take democratic decisions. He's not supposed to be a dictator. He's not supposed to give himself sweeping powers. But this is, I mean, like, we have to do it practically. He's never going to get anything done unless he has these kinds of powers, at least for this period. After this period, then we can go back to, like, democracy. But in this period, yes, we need this kind of power.
Shaima, last word from you. Shaima Helmi.
Well, I just also have a question regarding the timing of all what's going on right now. Right after what happened in Gaza, for example, and how the international community was praising the role of Egypt and praising Morsi, and all of a sudden People are talking about him turning into a new dictator and a new hero.
Well, I think you're going to wrap up our conversation right there, Shyam. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Maybe some of our listeners would like to respond to you. You can go to facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay. I want to thank Abdulrahman Ibrahim for joining us, and also Shyam Helmi that you just heard there, and Shyam Khalil, BBC Arab Affairs Analyst.
If you don't want to make an international call, text country code 44778620608 and put call me in your message.
Now, of course, you're probably used to hearing us asking you to get in touch with us in all the different ways, Facebook and Twitter and phone calls and whatnot. We have another way we'd like you to get and be part of World Have Your Say. Would you be interested in recording a World Have Your Say ident, a little identifier like those one that you just heard, just to show how many places you can contribute from around the world? If you go to worldhaveyoursay.com, you'll get all the details on how to do it. And you can see some of our listeners that have done it already. So we look forward to hearing you and seeing you. But now, on to emotion. Do you consider yourself an emotional person? What about your countrymen and women? Well, Gallup has come out with a poll citing the most and least emotional countries in the world. Now, I know you're probably running countries through your head on where you would place yours. As I mentioned earlier, I know I did with Ireland, probably trending a little bit towards the more emotional side. Well, here is somebody. Let's meet a couple of people from the most emotional country in the world. Can you guess what it is? We have Lee, Valeen, Waylo and Clarissa. You're all very welcome to the programme.
Hi.
Hi, Lee, Valeen. Well, let me start with you. You're all very welcome. Let me start with you. Do you want to tell our listeners where you're from, the most emotional country in the world?
Well, I'm currently in Kuala Lumpur right now in Malaysia. But yeah, growing up in the Philippines, I do know that the country does put value in emotions and actually kind of glorify it in some ways. You know, it can be seen in the country's history, our politics, the soap operas that we have on the telly, on the afternoon shows, even the newspapers. We consume sensationalism, and it seems that Filipinos do react well to feelings.
Well, I mentioned Clarissa, but she joins us instead from the least emotional country in the world. Clarissa, do you want to tell our listeners where you are?
Hi, good morning. I'm here in Singapore, the least emotional place. And it's 3 a.m. here. Yeah? Feeling very emotional now.
And why do you think Singapore has so few emotions? Are people getting emotional?
You know, that's just horrible because I know, you know, we are about as emotional as a cucumber sandwich. I'm absolutely abhorred at the results. I'm already emotional about it.
So you're the exception to the norm, perhaps, huh?
Well, actually, there is a lot of truth in the findings, actually, to consider us stoic Singaporeans. And I see it from a social and very political point of view. And I would think that the numbness could be due to many years of a one-party oppression, you know, Singapore being a one-party government system. And this tight ruling probably has silenced many citizens to a political apathy over the years, over the decades. And also socially, I think that we are being very, very conservative, and showing emotions is linked to weakness or lack of maturity. Because I think in this part of the world, face value is very important, and you don't want to publicly show your vulnerable side because of the fear of reciprocation. Things like having videos of yourself, having outbursts being put on the net, put on social media or tabloid video sites. So this can be very, very detrimental.
So it very much sounds like saving face is very important when it comes to your country. Well, Waylo has been listening to the conversation of Clarissa and also of Lee Valeen. Waylo, you're Filipino, but you're in Portland, Oregon, and I believe your partner is Vietnamese. So you're getting a whole window into three different cultures there, shall we say. Where do you stand?
Well, you know, I find it really funny that we were the most emotional country in the world. I don't really know how true that is. However, I do know that You know, Filipinos take a lot of things very personally, and we tend to take it too personally sometimes, that it can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I was explaining a while ago to someone else that us Filipinos are so welcoming. A lot of tourists who come home to come to the Philippines can say a lot of different things about how welcoming people are. And that has a direct correlation, in my opinion, as to how people are also emotional, how very empathic.
So you think it comes out very much in kind of the society. Well, let me give out our phone number, because maybe, you know, we've listeners all over the world and maybe they want to see where they rank. It's country code plus 44 20 31 62 42 42. Now, I have my little Gallup poll here that put all this together. And Philippines at the top, as we were mentioning there. Number two, El Salvador. Number three, Bahrain. Number four, Oman. Number five, Colombia. Would you have guessed it? Now, what about the least emotional, or the most emotionless societies, as they put it? Singapore, number one. Georgia, number two. Lithuania, number three. Russia and Madagascar. Now, I don't think I probably would have put them in that order, even if I had thought about it for a long time. But let me read some of the comments that have come in. People loved talking about this. Kedar in Jordan says, when emotion comes, rationality goes. What would you say to that, Lievelien?
Well, actually, feelings shouldn't really be thought as negative. I mean, it has two aspects to it. It can be both negative and positive. It just depends on, I mean, you just have to decide when you should use it. I mean, for instance, like the Philippine Revolution, the 1986 people power, if you look at it, it was majorly driven by emotions. True, it was kind of a bit unplanned, but through it, the Filipinos were able to prove that it is possible to make a change without the use of violence. So that would be a good testament that feelings does have some positive aspects to it, provided that you apply it at the right time.
Clarissa, did you ever think about moving to a place that was more expressive with their emotions, considering you seem to be a little bit the exception to the rule there?
You know what? You know, another way of saying that we are emotionless is to say that we are rather zen with ourselves, and it's good to have some zen moments as well. Well, but moving to other places is like an option. It's very exciting. The grass is always greener on the other side. But I'm happy where I am, and I do see from the daily interactions with my family, my friends, and even my clients that we all have a bubbling kind of passion and emotions that we keep it rather reserved to where.